Thank God for it. Amen. If you have your Bibles while you're standing, we're going to focus your attention on 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 11 through 13. Amen. I want to say thank you for being in the house of God. I invite you to be back again tonight. Prayer at 6:30, service at 7, and let's have a good time in the presence of the Lord. I've got a message that has been in my heart for several weeks, and it has come to fruition. And we're going to preach it tonight, God will. And so be here this evening, and let's get the whole meal deal. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. 1 Corinthians 13, 11 through 13. When I was a child, this is the word of God speaking for everybody. When I was a child, I spake as a child. That's the way I spoke. That's the way I behaved. That's the way I thought. I understood as a child. You're 3 years old. Mom can't expect you to act like, think like, or perceive things as an adult. So you think as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man or an adult, I put away childish things. Now that doesn't just mean toys. But I'm going to tell you something about men. They do not put away their toys. They just get bigger. They used to push them around. Now they drive them around. Yeah. They used to have Nerf bullets. Now they got lead. I'm just saying. And they get costly and more expensive. So we're having trouble with that part, putting away toys. But he said, for now we see through a glass. And we see through this glass kind of darkly. But there's going to come a time that we're going to see him face to face. Now I know in part. I don't know everything. I know some things, but I don't know everything. But we're going to see him face to face. And then shall I know. I will know it all then, even as also I am known. In other words, the Lord already knows everything, and I'm going to know some things like he knows things when I get there. But as for right now, abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. And charity is nothing less than love. It's nothing more than love. That's exactly what charity is. It's love. That's not the meat of my message here today, but I want us to comprehend the only way that we will ever get what God has for us as individuals. And it's not up to me to shove it down your throat. I will not do that. It is not up to me to manipulate. I will not do that. But I will present the word of God, and it is up to whosoever will to receive it. Act upon it. The only way we will ever deepen our relationship with God is with charity. I'm not just talking about a love for one another. If our love for God is correct, we will have no problem loving one another. So go back that far if you're having trouble loving others. Amen. So here's what I want to talk about. And we won't be very lengthy here today, but I want to talk about the right side of Pentecost. Amen. The right side of Pentecost. This was a moment and a time. This was an era, and still is an era in time. And it is the past. It is the present. We will be affected by it, by the future. And so we may as well talk about it. Amen? All right. Let's talk about it. The right side of Pentecost. Holy Ghost, we ask you to move with your spirit in this house. Lord, we pray your very presence Amen. We feel your essence, we feel your goodness, we feel your mercy, and we pray that you would help us, Lord, to perceive, to walk in faith, to fulfill your will in the mighty name of Jesus is our desire. Somebody shout amen. God bless you. You're seated just now. Amen. Attitude in the way that we perceive things can mean everything. So, I would say this, and I've said it many times, that all of us should protect. Once we understand what our joy is, we need to spend our lifetime protecting our joy. There are those that have not found their joy. There is someone today that's trying drugs for the first time. Sad to say. There's someone today that their life may be taken because someone else decided to take someone's life. That's bound to happen because when you've got 8,000 murders per year in the United States alone, somebody's thinking about it. I will congratulate the ladies and say that less than 10% of that 8,000 is females. But there's a lot of things out there luring people to convince them that this is your joy. This is going to be your happiness. This is going to be your thrill. But I found out what my joy is a long time ago, in that my joy is Jesus, others, and then yourself. That's your joy. Jesus, others, yourself. That's your joy. Amen. We cannot put ourselves before Jesus, and we cannot put ourselves before others. If our God robed himself in flesh and decided to come and to serve us as a man, then why would it be any different for us? The problem is that we want Jesus to do all the cross toting, and we want him to do all the burden carrying. And we just want to tag in and be blessed every now and then. Hello? But if you want proper joy, you better put Jesus where he belongs. You need to put others where they belong. And you need to put yourself where you belong. The greatest joy is to serve others. And the greatest success can only ever happen when we ultimately serve others. Because it's just a phenomenon. It takes place. It happens every time, no matter where you're at, no matter what you do and what kind of service it is. If it's military or if it's Christian, if it's church or wherever it may be, the more you serve others, the greater you're going to be. You want recognition? Serve others and give it everything you've got and watch yourself obtain recognition. It just always comes back. Amen. And so we perceive sometimes over what we should believe, and some want religion over relationship. We've mentioned that, but amen. Let me just tell you this. A Bible that is completely worn out belongs to an individual that isn't. A Bible that is worn out belongs to an individual that isn't. Amen. We need to let the Word of God be our way. We need to let the Spirit of God be our direction. And we need to let God himself be our leader. Amen. Hallelujah. And so I'm just telling you, just like in Noah's day, at that particular time, let me just back up and simply say, Pentecost simply means 50th day. That's what Pentecost is. Amen. Pentecost was a big day. And when you have your own personal Pentecost, that's a big day too. Understand, Steve, you had a Pentecost not too long ago. Congratulations. Praise the Lord. We've got others that recently had a Pentecost and you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Congratulations. Amen. We're apostolic in doctrine, but we're Pentecost in experience. Amen. I said we're apostolic in doctrine, but we're Pentecost in experience because the apostles showed us how to have that experience. Amen. And so Pentecost means 50th day. And it had its origin about 4,000 years ago when Moses led God's people out of Egypt. At that time, it was very dangerous to be on the wrong side of the blood. Because the Lord said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Amen. So it was a good thing to be inside the house with the blood on the doorpost rather than outside wondering what that blood's about. And so it was a good deal to be on the right side of the blood. Amen. And just like Noah's day at that particular time, it was a dangerous thing to be on the wrong side of the flood. So the last thing we want to wind up is on the wrong side of the blood and on the wrong side of the flood. 120 years Noah preached repentance. What side of Jericho would you have wanted to be on? Hello, when that massive wall began to crumble down, when God finally gave the Israelites the green light to worship Him. I want to tell you something, apostolics. I want to tell you something, landmark. We've got the green light to worship God. I don't care what others think about it. I don't care what they feel about it. It's the only thing I have to give back. God don't need my money. He don't need my vehicle. He don't need my house. He needs my praise. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen. It is not praise to sit like a mummy and stare at the preacher for an hour and a half and then go home unmoved, unstirred, unchanged, and unchangeable. Hello? But it is the will of God to make His house a house of prayer, to make His house a house of praise, and to make His house a place of worship. And you say, why do you want to blast everybody? I don't know about everybody else. I only know about us. I'm simply here to say, we started this thing in a fire, and we're not going to go out in a smoke. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I don't care how much smoke your fire does not have, but I do care about how much smoke you have over your fire. Amen. I don't want us to blow smoke and have no fire. Amen. But it don't matter if we have fire and no smoke, because the hotter the fire, the less the smoke. I want the fire to burn hot at Landmark, and I want the anointing to continue to break the yoke. We've recently had people healed of cancer. We've had people come out of comas. We've had people, but that's not all God wants to do. The Lord wants to deliver. The Lord wants to set free. That individual that's contemplating murder, I'd like for him to be one of our Sunday school teachers next year. That individual is going to wake up and overdose on drugs tomorrow. I'd like for him to find something from God today that will lead him away from that tomorrow. And pardon me if I get excited about that. If that thrills me and that brings me great joy. Amen. Hallelujah. Because it's not all about me, but it's about those that need Him desperately. For of such were some of you. And somebody thought about me, and I want to think about them. Amen. But I wouldn't want to be on the other side of Joshua's wall when it began to cave in and to break apart. That wall was so massive and huge and wide until they said that they could race chariots on it, 3 to 6 wide, on top of that wall. That was a massive wall. And it was broken down by praise. The Lord proved for several days that there's no other way. You can march all you want to march. You can protest all you want to protest. But until you begin to worship me, walls will not come down. Hello? Praise, glory, and honor, and praise, and a voice for truth. That's what changes. Right? Amen. So, I wouldn't want to be on the other side of Joshua's wall. Amen. Hallelujah. And so, can I There is an other side of Calvary. And I want to be on the right side of Calvary. But I'm going to tell you something about the devil. And hear me. Young people, hear me well. Amen. I know that the devil will show you his very best up front. But here's something you've probably never heard, and that is the fact that Jesus will show you his very worst up front. The devil will show you his very best, and then day after day after that, it goes downhill. People are committing suicide trying to get that first high they had when they did drugs. Young men and women are killing themselves across our nation because they're trying to get back that first thing they got from the devil when they joined the club. And they'll never get it because he gives you his very best first, and after that, it begins to weaken and go downhill. When Jesus will give you his very worst, and that is Calvary. You say, how can Calvary be so bad? I'm not talking about Calvary being bad. I'm talking about what he presented. Amen. You walk up to it and get a look at what it really was. It was blood. It was guts. And it was gore. And it was hideous. And it was a mess. You couldn't even tell who he was. He was nailed to a horizontal and perpendicular timber. It wasn't a piece of jewelry. It wasn't Mary doing the Watootsie on somebody's dash. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm telling you, Calvary was hideous. It was horrible. And it was bloody. His back was lacerated to the point that if it had been the centurion's will, his intestines would have fallen out. They said that they could have, they beat people with the cat of nine tails to the point that their insides fell out on the ground and they never made it to the crucifixions. But we knew that when Jesus stood there for that, that was only for our healing. That he was going to go on to Calvary for our salvation. But ladies and gentlemen, get this picture with me. After you step back past Calvary, every day with Jesus gets sweeter than the day before. Every day gets better than the day before. Hallelujah. My God is stronger today than he was yesterday. He's more mighty to me. He's more merciful to me. He's more powerful to me than he has ever been before. I'm not here to use him. I'm not here to abuse him. I'm simply here to tell you I love him. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. And so I wouldn't want to be on the wrong side of Calvary. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so let me just simply move on and say that there are three pairs in the Bible, three sets of two in the Word of God that I want to share with you today real quick. There's Jacob and there's Esau. There's David and there's Saul. There's Peter and there's Judas. Amen. One had a hunger and a thirst for God, and the other just simply did not. We know that Esau sold his birthright basically for a bowl of soup. We know that Saul sold out for title recognition. We know that Judas sold out for just a handful of coins. They just simply did not understand the other individuals that I placed beside them. Esau didn't understand Jacob. He didn't understand and comprehend a hunger for God. We know that it took Jacob a while to get there, but he got there at Bethel. Amen. And he wrestled with God. Esau never comprehended what it is to come before God and to get a hold of him and to just tell him with a tenaciousness of a pit bull, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And I'm not talking about money. I'm not talking about a new car. I'm not talking about finances. And I'm not talking about prestige. I'm talking about a relationship with you that I'm not seeing anywhere else. I will not let you go until I get it. Esau couldn't comprehend that. He said, you can have it. I don't care. Just give me a bowl of soup. I'm starving to death. Give it to me. I don't care. Keep the birthright. The birthright means absolutely nothing to me. You know what he said? The kingdom of God means nothing. A deep relationship with the Lord means nothing. I'll squander that. Just give me a bowl of soup. Amen. My name's going to be in the Bible anyway. That's good enough. He didn't know about that, but I just thought I'd throw that in. I'm just simply telling you today, amen, we need to comprehend that there's a difference between Jacob and Esau. Amen. And then Saul couldn't comprehend David's repenting. He couldn't comprehend that you can go so low and yet God can bring you out and set you up so high. Just because of his mercy and because of his grace. Saul tried trickery. He tried everything else. And he learned that that doesn't work with God when Samuel hewed Agag to pieces there at Gilgal. I'm just telling you, amen, the anointing is here to break the yoke for those of you that want to get on the right side of Pentecost. I'm not talking about who's wrong. I'm not talking about who's right. I'm talking about the Word of God. I'm not arguing. I'm not fussing. I will not debate. It's useless because you've got two people with a mindset that's not going to, amen. I'm just simply telling you, I thank God that I was raised up Heinz 57. I know about religions. Amen. I've told you many times, we rode the first bus that parked in front of the house and blew the horn. They had to get to our house early. And when they did, they were blessed because there was about seven of us kids. And so they did come early. And we rode the bus. It didn't matter if it's Salvation Army, Methodist, Lutheran. It didn't matter what. And so we jumped on the bus and we went. And so I'm not here lashing out. I'm not here doing that. I'm just simply saying there's a day and there's a time that would do good to be on the right side of Pentecost. Amen. Judas couldn't understand how Simon Peter had godly sorrow, and it broke his heart to betray the Lord. Simon Peter, or let me say Judas, did nothing worse than Simon Peter did. Do you comprehend that? So why didn't Simon Peter go and hang himself? Because Judas just couldn't comprehend. I wanted the money and I wanted to walk with Jesus too. I wanted a love for money and I wanted to have recognition with the Lord too. He couldn't comprehend the fact that he betrayed the Lord. You did him wrong, Judas. You did him wrong. Simon Peter comprehended that. He said, my Lord, I've done him wrong. I've stood against him. I lied to him when I told him, you can do all of this and all of this. All these people can leave you, but I will never leave you. And the Lord said, you'll deny me three times before the rooster crows. And he did. And when he did, he ran out and was sorry for it. And the Lord honed in on that and allowed him to be the first preacher of the first New Testament church. That's how much mercy my God has. Amen. I'm here to tell you, I don't care where you are. I don't care where you're from. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what kind of words have come out of your mouth, what kind of attitude you've ever had. I don't care what kind of love for stuff that you've got. I don't care how much recognition you feel like you've got to have. Amen. But if you could humble yourself and come before the Lord, God can give you mercy over that. He can give you grace over that. He can give you power and authority and dominion over that, and the anointing can break that yoke, and you too can be used of God in a great dimension and in a great way. My. Hallelujah. At Bethany, Jesus commanded them to go to Jerusalem and be endued with power. Am I correct? Here's what he did. He stood before 500 people and he told them to go to Bethany. And there's where you're going to be endued with power. We know he meant the Holy Ghost. because that's the power they received when they got there and climbed into the upper room. Bethany was a day's journey away. They spent all day walking all the way to Bethany, and they made it. They went into the upper room. They prayed for several days, and finally, the power fell. It came in like a wind. It came in like a fire. It came in with anointing. They began to speak in tongues. Even Jesus' mother, every one of them came out of the upper room speaking in that heavenly language. But it was only 120 out of 500. Over 300 didn't go. And today, there's still more of them than there is of us. But that doesn't matter. Little is much when God is in it. I said little is much when God is in it. They can talk about how good He was. They can talk about the miracles He performed. They can talk about Him walking on water. They can talk about how He raised the dead. They can talk about a lot of things, how good He is. Love your neighbor like you love yourself. They can talk about do good deeds. They can talk about all of this, but they cannot talk about the upper room because they didn't go. They can't talk about the infilling of the Holy Ghost because they weren't there. They can't talk about, are you hearing what I'm saying? Amen. I'm just here to tell you, amen. We are here because they went there. Hallelujah. And we believed it. We acted upon it. We responded to it. And that same Holy Ghost they received, we have received today. So I'm saying welcome to the right side of Pentecost. We're not here to talk about it. We're not here to reason about it. We're not here to fight against it. We're not here to debate against it. But we are here to thoroughly enjoy it. Here we are here to wrap ourselves up in Pentecost because that's exactly what the Lord intended for the church. Am I making sense? Praise God. And so they went. It fell on the day of Pentecost. 120 have received it. 380 remained on the wrong side. The same seed of the Spirit that impregnated Mary. The Spirit of God looked upon her and said, Mary, thou art highly favored of God. You're highly favored. And that same Spirit has impregnated the church. And that is why revival cannot be stopped. The Lord is looking upon the church and saying, you are highly favored. Amen. I'm going to prove it to you. Why else would He say, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it? Honey, that's highly favored of God. Amen. First day 1,000, second day 5,000, third day multitudes because they couldn't count them. And the bloodline of revival still flows today. The seed of the Antichrist came to those on the wrong side, and there's where spiritual death came. That's where spiritual numbness came. That's where people avoid and want to jump over scriptures and verses and all of this. Listen, amen. We're not here to mangle the Word of God, but we're here to give it in sequence, just like it happened, just like it unfolded, and just like it should happen today. Amen. Joel prophesied that in the last days, saith the Lord, I will pour out of my Spirit. Amen. It's going to come upon you. It's going to come upon your children and their children too. Amen. More of them than amen. I'm just telling you, amen. I don't want a spiritual deafness. I don't want a spiritual numbness. Amen. I remember a lady came to our church when we were in the old building. She came to our church, and she was excommunicated from her church because she was accused of worshiping. This is her words. Her words. After that service, she said, Pastor, I hope you don't mind me coming. I said, I don't mind anybody coming to our church. I said, what's up? She said, well, my pastor told me I couldn't come back to our church. She said, I was in the nursery, and we had a nursery back there, and you could see through the window into the nursery at any time, and watching us nursery workers care for the children. And she said, I was standing in front of the window holding a baby. And she said, I was listening to the preaching, but the baby was trying to give us a hard time. And so she said, I was just shaking it and just kind of rocking it, listening to the children. And after service, pastor said, if you're going to act like one of those Pentecostals, then bless God, you don't belong in this church because this church don't believe that stuff. And she had to leave, and he wouldn't even let her explain. She wasn't even trying to worship. Probably didn't even know what it was. She was just tending for a baby. Hello? And we've got churches everywhere across America praying for revival. You know what revive means? It means to bring back what used to be. And God's trying to bring back what used to be, and they're fighting it tooth and nail and still praying for revival. It reminds me of a prayer group that got together and was praying for Peter to be released from jail. And when Peter was miraculously released, he went to the prayer meeting. They answered the door and said, you're not Peter. He's in jail, and shut the door in his face and went back to praying for Peter to be turned loose. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Revival is coming. It may not come like you thought it was going to come. It may not come like you conditioned it to come. It may not come like some of us have molded it to come. But it's coming, and it's going to come God's way. And I'm telling you right now, the latter rain will be greater than the former rain, but it will be just like the former rain. It's rain. Rain is rain. You can't change rain. The only thing that's going to make the latter rain greater than the former rain is that there's going to be more of it. Hello, that's not goosebumps you're feeling. That's the Holy Ghost rubbing you up and down the backbone, telling you that man up there is preaching the truth. That man up there is trying to help you. That man up there is trying to give you some direction. Somebody shout yes. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 We believe in holiness. We believe in righteousness. We preach it. We teach it. We just went into it in detail. Amen. I thank God for clothes that cover our bodies. I thank God for our women that don't dress provocative, and men that know how to keep their clothes on even in the summertime. I'm just simply telling you that is an awesome thing. Amen. But we've got to get deeper than the clothesline. We've got to get in our heart. We got to get in our spirits. We got to get in our minds. And we got to understand. Amen. I'm not preaching to anybody individually. Please don't. I don't do that. I don't play that game. Amen. You don't know me if that's what you think. I'm just simply telling you right here, right now. Amen. That God is doing a deep thing. Amen. A mighty thing and a powerful thing. Hallelujah. A friend of mine called me this week. I don't know the details because it just happened this week. Amen. But he said a Baptist friend of his, minister, and he's over some Bible colleges across the state, and he's the president and all that good stuff. And so he said the other day, he approached the preacher friend of mine, and he said, I want to tell you something. I've been listening to you. You have not pushed me one inch. You have not shoved me. You have not done anything. I've just been listening to you. And because of that, I have gone back to the Word of God. And he said, I can't find some of the stuff we're talking about. He said, but I found everything you're talking about in the Word of God. And he said, here's what I'm going to do. You didn't make me do it. I feel this in the Lord. He said, I'm going back and I'm going to change some of my curriculum. And my Bible study students are going to hear some of this stuff you're talking about. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, revival is here, ready or not. And the latter rain is greater than the former rain. We've got more in here right now in our little church than they had in the upper room that have already received the Holy Ghost. Amen. You add that to the statistically, amen, we've got people receiving the Holy Ghost every 2.5 minutes statistically just in the United Pentecostal Church alone. Amen. Tell me, that is the latter rain being greater than the former rain. Same Holy Ghost, same fire, same wind blowing, same upper room, amen, but in a greater form. My. Hallelujah. Let me move on. Somebody's working on a test in this meeting. And where I got this point was when Carson was born in the hospital. He was there for many days because he had some serious issues. And we were there staring through the window at him 24/7. Along with those issues, he couldn't see us. That was normal. And so, but we're still there, you know, just trying to get his attention and stuff. And all of a sudden, behind me, the doors slammed. And then doors slammed on the other side. And a siren, loud noise was going off. The normal lights went out. Emergency lights came on. And I thought, oh boy, here we go. And a nurse walked by and said, oh, it's just only another one of those stupid tests. I said, if you're right, thank God. But I did say, if you're right. She had been tested so many times until it got numb to her. She had gone through the test so many times until, if it was a real emergency, it didn't mean anything to her. We can come time after time and we can be numb to it. We can come time after time and get our own agenda built up. We can come time after time. I'm praying, God, in the name of Jesus, give us all the mentality to comprehend. Hello. Amen. That one of these times, it's not going to be a test. One of these times when the Lord is calling for spirit and truth. One of these times when the Lord is calling for true worship and praise. One of these times when the Lord is calling for sincerity and depth. Amen. Commitment, dedication, and listen. Amen. When the Lord came, how much of himself did he give? Okay. When we come to give it to God, how much should we give? Really? Well, then you just got the attitude of gratitude, and that attitude of gratitude is going to put you in a position where you can give God all. And when you do, amen, when the real deal takes place, you will pass the test. Because I'm telling you, I honestly believe that when the rapture takes place, that we're going to feel the same spirit that we have felt all service long in this house. So we're not going to feel one spirit and then all of a sudden the rapture takes place and we feel another spirit. Every time we feel the Spirit of God, I believe it's a test. Amen. The Spirit's going to draw us out of this world. And the way that we respond to it now could be the way that we respond to it when the rapture takes place. So how do we respond to the calling of God? How do we respond to the moving of His Spirit? How do we respond to the stirring of the Holy Ghost? Hallelujah. Amen. And so it is. Beware of the professional. The shepherd leaves the 99 and goes to get the one. Many times it's too late. God doesn't do so well with leftovers. That young man in the Word of God that the Lord was going to call, he said, Lord, I want to try this out for a while. He said, I've kept the truth. My mom and dad raised me right. I've got all this. I've got all that. And the Lord said, just wait a minute. Wait. He said, you want me to call you? You want to follow me? And you want to check this out? You want to feel this out? And see what kind of joy you can get, what kind of blessing it is. The Lord went right to the point. He said, okay, go sell all you have. Come back and then go with me. You know the answer. He said, I can't do that. I just want to check it out. I just want to walk with you. And the Lord said, go sell all you want. He's not asking that from everybody, but he did ask it from him. He said, go sell all you got. Sell it. Come back. Follow me. He doesn't want leftovers. He don't want what you got left. Lord, if I got something left, you can have it. Amen. He wants everything. I don't want us to compromise God's dynamic investment in us. I want to talk about three things God wants from us, real briefly. It'll just take seconds. Number one, He wants real. He wants real. He don't want to talk. He wants real. Amen. If we're going to talk it, let's walk it. Amen. Secondly, He wants right. Amen. I've given you the definition of righteousness, and I've made it just as basic as I could possibly make it, and that righteousness is simply doing right things. Righteousness is simply doing things right. And we know the difference. So He wants real, He wants right, and then thirdly, He wants relationship. Let's stand. He wants relationship. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Why in the world initiate it in the first church and not want it in the last church? Holy Ghost. Lord, why give us a lesson, a sign, and a wonder in the Old Testament if you didn't want us to enjoy it in the new? Hallelujah. I close with this. I'm going to share a story with you about a young man that wound up on the wrong side. He was out with his friends and was talked into doing a certain drug. What we don't comprehend is that these certain drugs do not come from the pharmaceutical industry. They're made in living rooms, basements, places that look like dungeons, because that's what they are. His friends talked him into that. He went too far. He took too much, because nobody knows when it's too much until they're dead. So that night, he burned his brain on drugs, on a one-night binge away from God. Just a little while on the wrong side of Pentecost. But that wasn't enough for the devil. The devil wanted him to have a deeper torment. And so this is what he did to him. So the young man winds up in an institution because he can't stay at home, because he's out of his mind. He's burned his brain. But in that institution, every now and then, his right mind clicks in, Brother Cook. He jumps out of bed and goes running to the counter. And he said, I'm not supposed to be here. My name is so-and-so. My address is this. My telephone number is this. My mom and dad's name is this. I need to go home. You need to call them and you need to tell them that. And he walks away, wandering down the hallway, because his mind is gone again. And every now and then, he makes the trip to the counter to get out. I'm telling somebody, if you need it and you want it, it's time to get out. He's got something for you. He's got an experience for you. He's got an anointing for you. He don't have another religion for you, but he does have a deep relationship. He's got a rain that wants to fall. He's got a fire that wants to fall. He's got a wind that you need to feel. He's got spirit, power, presence, anointing. He don't have just a belief. Amen. It's not just a mindset, but it's a spirit set. It's an experience with God. It's good. It's mighty, powerful, wonderful. It's holy. It's righteous. It's glorious. It's phenomenal. The world can't understand it. It's a peace that passes all understanding. It comes from God. I'm just asking today, if there's anybody here right now that feels like you need it, anybody that feels like you want it, anybody that feels like you've walked away from it, I want you to come and receive it, believe it, act upon it. Amen. Touch it. Hallelujah. Comprehend it. Understand it. Amen. The Lord is here to help you. The Lord is here to strengthen you. The Lord is here to anoint you, touch you, bless you. save you and set you free and liberate you. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Spirit of God. Presence of the Lord. Goodness of God. Almighty God. Somebody help me praise Him right now. Amen. It is in perfect order to give God glory. It is in perfect order to give God thanks. Perfect order to give God praise. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Something I like to encourage our people to do, and that is that to do a little fasting, a little prayer, a little praying each week. In other words, I'm not saying pray one time a week, but we need a consistent prayer time, but we also need a consistent time to fast, set ourselves aside for the Lord. In other words, you starve the spirit, you feed the flesh. You starve that flesh, you feed the spirit. If you'll pull in a little prayer time and pull in some Bible with it. Amen. And so, teaching Bible study yesterday evening, Brother Cody asked me, what's the best thing to do? And I said, well, you know, you come out of Sunday night, and Monday's just about as high as Sunday. And then Tuesday, of course, we've got midweek Bible study. I said, I like to set a fast time in the middle of the week. And at least one time a week, fast a day. Do without food that morning and do without lunch. And then eat that night perhaps. But do that consistently. I said, I wish I had somebody to tell me that. I said, because when I first got in church, my preacher got to preaching about fasting and I about starved myself to death. Can't you tell? Well, that was a long time ago. But I literally did. And finally, one of the young people finally told me, and they said, Kenny, you got to eat sometimes. I mean, I'd go days. I'd get sick. I'd try to throw up, but there was nothing to throw up. I'd have headaches that was just about to explode my head. And I found out that consistency is better. And to where I would starve myself. There was one Christmas, I fasted right through Christmas. And it's not a bad thing. But we got to do things moderately, you know. And so we can fast 7 days, but we can't do that every week. And we could do that. But once a week, maybe in the middle of the week, get past your Tuesday and Wednesday, you know, you need to lob over till Sunday or Saturday night prayer meeting. And so push the plate aside and pray. Pray for your friends. Pray for your family. Pray for your church. Pray for those that are lost. Pray for those on the job. Pray for those going through sicknesses. You know, people that are having difficulties and issues and situations that I'll never know. Pray for them. Fast for them. Believe God for them. And these things will come to pass. These things will happen. Amen. And so let's commit ourselves to prayer. Let's commit ourselves to fasting and seeking God, serving God, living for God, and understanding the Word of God. Amen? All right. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Greet our guests and our visitors one another.